Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I'm delighted to share with you an interview I did with local sci-fi author R.W.W. Green. R.W.W. Green, or Rob, will be joining us here at Gibson's Bookstore for an in-store event on Tuesday, May 10th at 6:30 p.m. for the launch of his new alternate history sci-fi novel, Mercury Rising. This is the first in a slick, smart new series, The First Planets, and is a high-concept, alternative history with aliens, an immortal misanthrope, and sci-fi tropes aplenty. Mercury Rising is a ton of fun. It's thrilling and full of action and characters you can't get enough of. If you like sci-fi and alternate histories, you're going to love this one. Take a listen to my chat with Rob and then join us in-store on Tuesday, May 10th at 6:30 p.m. Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast.
Oh, I'm psyched to have you. We're very excited for your upcoming event in store. You're one of our few in-store events. I'm very excited.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm glad to be back. I love Gibson's. It's my home store, and I go there as often as I can to spend money.
Which we love. So we are recording this prior to Mercury Rising coming out, so our listeners will not have read it yet. I wonder if you could give us a little sneak preview, give us a little elevator pitch for the new book.
It's an alternate history set in the 70s, and I've replaced the Cold War and Vietnam with an alien invasion. The idea being that when Oppenheimer was working on the bomb, he actually discovered an engine, a spacecraft engine that allowed us to like start the space race early. And that's kind of what happens. And our main character is this kind of petty thief from New York. And he gets in over his head quite quickly.
Yeah, he does. He's great. My initial first few notes from reading this are so funny because my first note is, oh my God, alien invasion. And then the next note is, oh, it's a movie. And then the next note is, no, it was real. The movie was based on real events. It was fun to discover the alternate history. That was really fun. So it's an alternate history. So what other little things did you end up changing, right? Because that's like a big thing to change. And what was sort of some of your favorite like trickle down changes that you got to make in this one?
Well, there were a couple things that I mean, in this version of the story, Kennedy doesn't die, but that's not part of the alien invasion. But, you know, you might find out that there are certain presidential candidates who are actually aliens in disguise. You might find out that, some things that, Nixon doesn't get impeached and removed. He serves his full two terms. Mm-hmm. Because you don't remove a wartime president, especially when the aliens have taken out Cleveland. right. So little things like that. The 70s are so ripe for kind of rewriting and looking at and thinking about and that kind of stuff, that there was a lot of things that happened. I mean, Nixon, as horrible as he was, he actually did have a guaranteed income program that he came up with in a kind of a universal medical program that he ditched early on. And in this version of the story, those go past. So there's things like that happen. So
it's a ton of fun. And I will say for listeners, I don't think you need to be a history buff to appreciate the alternate history of this book. Cause I certainly am not a history buff and I love this book. And even I was able to notice some changes. Even I, who did not know much about the 70s, I was like, wait, that's different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up in the 70s. Well, I mean, I was a kid in the 70s.
Yeah.
So I only vaguely remember like a lot of things, but I've got kind of a thematic memory of the 70s and kind of what those themes were. So it was a lot of fun to kind of go back and think about it and do the research and listen to the music and look at the fashions and that kind of stuff. It was enjoyable.
Yeah. I was going to ask, are you the type of writer, do you listen to music while you write? Because I know you are a musician. You've brought your guitar to our events before.
I wouldn't call myself a musician. The guitar kind of lets me hang around with it. Yeah, I mean, I don't listen to a lot of music while I write because I kind of find it distracting. Unless it's like music without lyrics. So I'll listen to jazz or I'll like listen to hip hop and I'll turn the volume real down so it's just the beat.
Nice.
Because that's kind of what I'm looking for. But I mean, I did, listen to a lot of like 70s era soundtracks and music and that kind of stuff just to kind of get in the vein of the spirit of the thing. But not so much as I wrote. I know a lot of people like a lot of writers like to write the soundtracks. They'll write the movie soundtracks to like lift them up and down in terms of the spirit and the mood. But I prefer quiet or almost like a background kind of noise.
Yeah, I'm very similar. I'm always amazed when authors will be like, "This is my soundtrack to writing this book." And I'm like, "How did you not end up just writing the lyrics?"
Writing the lyrics down,
Because when I write, I have like all of these different sort of like background noise things. I have like the sound of a rainy day, and then like cafe noises, and then also the sound of someone typing because that makes me type faster. Like I have like all these random things, but no music. I
That's
can't do
cool. That's
music.
cool. Yeah, you just kind of like looking for the rhythm, the natural
Yeah.
rhythm of the cafe or the typewriter or the thing that makes, and that's kind of what you're looking for, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious, would you ever go to space? If you were in Brooklyn's position, Brooklyn being the character, would you sign up? Would you go to space?
Oh yeah, hell yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, my wife and I have talked about this. Like the Mars Foundation is a thing that, they want to do like send a bunch of middle-aged people to Mars to build the colony and die there. And I was like, yeah, I'd do that. And she's like, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd like to stay married, so I probably won't go. But yeah, I mean, I would totally do that.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't know if I would. I guess maybe I would in the right circumstance. Curiosity would probably get me. I'd be like, I want to see what it's like.
Well, the whole idea of like sending middle-aged people to Mars to like build it because they're not going to have kids, they don't have to worry about the radiation. You're not going to come back. You're 50 years old. You kind of like the better half of your life is gone. So now you'll spend the last part of it like setting up, Mars shelters or whatever it is they do. And that's kind of an interesting idea.
I
And
think that's
I
cool.
could be the best science fiction writer on the entire planet.
That, there you go.
That cool. Maybe the best guitarist on the entire planet.
There you go.
That would be. I'd never achieve that otherwise.
I mean, that's goals right there. There you go. So I love this. On your website, you have a list of talking points for interviews. So I'm just gonna throw some out and allow you to elaborate if that's cool with you, because I
Sure,
think these are
sure.
fun. So the first one is typewriters.
I collect typewriters. I've got probably 40 of them. I do a fair amount of my first draft work on typewriters because it's hard to get distracted on them. There's no Twitter, there's no, email. Kind of like you, I like the sound. I like the rhythm and the sound. And when I'm up there and I tell my wife I'm going to write, I have to write. Otherwise, she knows I'm not because she can hear it.
She can hear it, yeah.
Yep. So, I like them. I enjoy them. I work on them. They're just kind of well, maybe a passion. Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's cheaper than cars. Like, if you're gonna have a middle age crisis, you might as well do typewriters and not cars, right? Yeah,
Do you have a favorite typewriter?
I do. I have an Olympia SM9 that's up on my desk right now. It's a similar typewriter to what J.G. Ballard used, and I wrote The Light Years on that, and which
Nice.
is the first book that came out with, and I wrote a lot of. Wrote a lot of this book, early parts of this book, Mercury Rising on that. There's just something about, piling the pages up next to the typewriter and keeping track of that in terms of like thickness of the ream of paper you're using as opposed to the word count. It just feels, I don't know, feels more real, I guess.
Yeah, that seems deeply satisfying. I like that.
Very satisfying. You should give it a shot if you have not tried one.
I had a typewriter in my house when I was a kid. I did not get to take it with me because it was not technically mine when I moved out, but I would love to get my own typewriter because they are so satisfying to write on. That is awesome. Another one we've got, beekeeping.
Beekeeping. We keep bees here in Manchester.
That's
We have a
awesome.
we had about an eighth of an acre, but bees don't care how much space because they fly. So we don't have any right now because they perished 2 winters ago when we haven't replenished them. But we like to get back into it. And they're kind of, sometimes they're kind of hard to keep alive because of weather and colony collapse and all this kind of stuff. But they're,
For sure.
I love them. They're great neighbors. They give honey.
Which, I mean, that's amazing. And also save the bees. We love that.
Yeah. And you can, you know, no matter how much space you have, even if you've got a rooftop, you can have bees.
How does one get into, like, where do you get the bees? How does one get into beekeeping?
There's an apiary in Merrimack we go to. Well, we also went to the Merrimack Beekeepers Association, hold a bee school once a year. You go and you know, you pay the money and you get a discount on bee on your first nuke of bees, which is like a 3 pounds of bees. And you just, you know, for a few weeks of Thursday nights, you go and learn about bees and hang out with these guys and these women and people who do beekeeping stuff. And, you know, then you graduate. I got a certificate somewhere from my beekeeping school. And it was pretty cool. It's pretty fun. There's a lot to them. You know, bees can like recognize, you know, the faces of the people who are taking care of them, and they can get depressed, and they can, you know, they generate their own magnetic field, and they, you know, they're just fascinating little critters. It's fun just to have them in the backyard. They're like, each hive is kind of like its own little organism, you know, made up of other little organisms, and they're just, you know, really interesting to watch.
That's so cool. I love that. Yeah, I've had friends who have kept bees, but I've never like delved into it. That's really cool. Let's see, another one we've got here is breakfast and black coffee.
Breakfast is my favorite meal. Black coffee is the way I take my coffee. I have it right here, right in this cup. I drink way too much of it. I think, you know, I sometimes during the course of a busy day, it may be only breakfast that I've achieved to eat. And I've drunk a lot of black coffee, and yeah, that's not the most exciting talking point, is it? But that's kind of,
hey, that's okay. That is
that's
okay.
Where I live.
Have
Plus,
you,
I think I can eat breakfast. Go ahead, sorry.
Have you had a chance to come up and try our new cafe yet?
How new is it?
So it is no longer True Brew Barista. We reopened as Gibson's Cafe in October, I think.
So, yes, I've been there since October, and I've had coffee there since October, but I didn't know if I noticed that it was different.
Yes. We are very happy. We now actually own the cafe, which is very
cool.
Very nice and fun. We have a lot of input on,
Is
very fun. And then I'll do one more, and then we'll transition into kind of the ending question, building a better world, which I feel like fits in a little bit to your alternate history book.
Kind of. I mean, my career, I've had a couple of careers. I was a journalist for a long time, and then I was a high school teacher for a long time. And, you know, one of my points of dismay is that, you know, while working with these little clouds of potential that we call adolescence, that our little clouds of potential is that we're kind of leaving them with such a mess. And I feel, you know, bad about that, very bad about that. So I would like to spend kind of what time I have left trying to make things better for them as much as I can, I guess. Either through, you know, writing and maybe trying to tell some stories that I'm thinking about, or, you know, through keeping bees, you know, or whatever, recycling, or, you know, trying to do what I can. That's the interesting thing about the alternate histories. The last book I wrote was near future sci-fi, which was kind of like, you know, 2090 or something like that. But it's kind of hard to look forward because the near future is kind of bleak looking. And it's only so much you can kind of look at that before you want to start drinking heavily. So I figured with this book, I'd look back and kind of sideways and maybe see what's there. And that's kind of where I am right now in terms of the writing. But, you know, I'm sure I'll be looking forward again soon enough.
Yeah. I have two kids, and so I'm constantly in that same type of like, we have to fix the world for this generation. But, so far, I mean, my kiddos, they're just little itty bitty toddlers, but they both are obsessed with books and creativity. And so I have some hope for
done that. You've achieved that. Yeah, no, I love the kids. I mean, I love the millennials and the Gen Y and the Gen Z have been my favorite generation so far, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of, you know, like accepting each other and like, you know, this is what you are and it's okay. And if you're gay, mm-hmm. that's cool. If you're trans, that's cool. You know, it's just something that, you know, when I was a kid, you know, it's just that something we didn't talk about. We didn't think about it. It wasn't part of our context. But, yeah. you know, they're a lot more awake and aware than I was back then. And it gives me hope and inspiration that we can't rely on them to fix things. We have to, like, at least give them some tools with which to fix things. So,
you
know, I'm hoping your kids have a good life.
Yes. The kids are all right. I'll tell you that.
Kids are all right.
And then the last one is books, which I think is a great transition. You know, we've talked about your new book, but mm-hmm. I'm curious if you've read anything recently that you want to recommend.
I probably read, you know, 4 books a week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I love, you know, I read before I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm reading Neil Stevenson's new one right now. The name escapes me, but it's a sci-fi, cli-fi kind of thing.
He's awesome.
I like him. Like him. I also just read Nick Petrie, who's a thriller writer, kind of like a Lee Childs kind of guy, but his character is more of he's a veteran with PTSD, and you know, he can't be inside, he can't stay under a roof because he has PTSD. So he goes and kind of like roams around and camps and helps people out. Mm. And he's got a new one that just came out that I just read. And of course, I can't remember the title of that one either.
That's okay.
but that's just kind of the way I go. But I like his books quite a bit. There's probably 6 of them.
Nice.
It's just a much more humanized Jack Reacher. People like him, but this guy is much more vulnerable. You know, he's not he's much more thoughtful, and I appreciate that rather than the Terminator, the Jack Reacher is.
Yes, which are also fun to read, but I they're more human.
They're fun, but I appreciate the, you know, these taking an effort to really kind of humanize and look at it in terms of, like, you know, the PTSD and you know, the moral wound that soldiers often come home with, and I find that more interesting to read, and also I appreciate that he actually wrote that, so that's been fun.
Yeah, that is awesome. I will definitely put those in the show notes so listeners can go check those out. That's pretty much all I've got for you. We are again very excited for your upcoming event, May 10th, 6:30 p.m. in the store. Will you bring your guitar?
I don't know about that. Maybe. I mean, it was kind of my security comfort guitar, you know, because I've got some anxiety issues that I needed the guitar to chill out with. Maybe I'll bring a cat this time or something. Who knows? Who knows?
That could be cool too.
Interesting to have a comfort accordion. That would be an interesting thing to do. Or bagpipes. Maybe bagpipes.
Comfort, can you imagine bagpipes.
That? That would be insane.
I think Michael might have some objections.
He might have some
comfort bagpipes.
Comfort bagpipes. Yeah.
Awesome. Rob, thank you so much for hanging out. And
thanks so much for having me. I appreciate you doing this. I'm looking forward to the event. You know, I love being at Gibson's and I love you guys over there. So
thank you.
Very excited to be doing a launch with you guys again.
We are thrilled, and I'm very excited for Mercury Rising to come out so I can hand sell it to all my sci-fi lovers and my alternate history lovers. They're gonna lose it for this one. It's great.
Cool. Thank you very much for doing that.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. Good talking to you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Huge thanks again to RWW Green for hanging out with me on the podcast. Mercury Rising comes out on May 10th, and you can grab your copy and then have it signed in-store that evening at 6:30 p.m. If you can't make it to our event, you can order a copy on our website and include personalization requests in the order notes. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and I'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!